Lutheran. We have been worshiping in our fellowship hall the last 2 weeks because we have no air conditioning in the sanctuary. And so I wanted to share my sermon with you from Sunday. It is Monday, so I'm recording this in my office. And may it bring you a little hope and reflection for this week. So please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable before you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Oof, what a description to start this week's gospel. My Lutheran study Bible reminded me that that word compassion in Greek is related to the gut, like gut-wrenching. Jesus felt this in his body when he looked over the people he was teaching, healing, and helping. He saw in the crowds the harassment, the powerlessness, the vulnerability, and he was physically moved by it. There's so much honesty in this. It feels so human. Jesus sees the reality and he feels it in his gut. I've subscribed to this cute little magazine called The Soil and Seed Project. It's written by these Mennonites out in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and they're writing these incredibly beautiful little liturgies and songs and devotionals meant to be done with minimal prep, simple enough that children can learn them. They have prayers and prompts that go along with the lectionary, and they've also done some work around memorizing parts of the Bible. They've written a whole musical setting about Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. Their new one is all about the Psalms, and when it showed up in the mail, I had a couple minutes, so I flipped through it. And, you know, some of them sounded really familiar, Psalm phrases that we would recognize. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Lord, it is good. Let everything that has breath. And then I did a double take because there is one entitled, God, We're Tired. It was written by the creative team who were inspired as they studied these psalms to write some new ones. And it goes like this. God, we're tired. God, we're angry. God, we don't know what to do. Come with fire, come with mercy, come, oh, come, make all things new. God, we're tired, God, we're angry, God, we don't know what to do. Come with fire, come with mercy, come, oh, come, make all things new. Isn't that something? I don't know about you, but it just feels very freeing to me to admit this. I really like that it's corporate, that it's we. On Sunday, we sang it all together, and so I invite you to sing it too. You can find it on Spotify or Apple Music, their website, Soil and Seed Project. But this idea that our exhaustion, our anger, our helplessness at being able to change these things, and this sentiment has really resonated with me the last couple of weeks. So I have felt exhaustion around the headlines. I've witnessed such terrible road rage and anger, frustration on so many levels. Dear ones, Jesus in this gospel story meets us here in this place of overwhelm and anger and exhaustion. Sheep without a shepherd. What's really interesting about this gospel is that it takes this unexpected twist from here. Jesus doesn't wave his hands and fix everything, which is what I would do if I were in charge. Jesus sends out his new disciples. And the Salt Project commentary reminded me who they are. First, we get Peter, who will deny Jesus explicitly when Jesus is arrested. And last comes Judas, the betrayer himself. In between are these uneducated, unremarkable fishermen, a profession near the bottom of the social hierarchy in first century Palestine. And then we get Matthew, the tax collector, as we explored last week, a professional class often despised as corrupt collaborators with the Roman occupiers. And then we get Simon the Canaanian, who used to battle against those very occupiers. This group number evokes the 12 tribes of Israel, suggesting that Jesus' mission will renew Israel's fortunes. Though on the face of it, this motley crew, it's pretty hard to believe. Jesus sends these folks out, and he gives them very specific instructions. No extra underwear, no snacks, no money. No bag. I don't know about you, but I don't go anywhere without something. You know, my water bottle, my phone, a fig bar, some chapstick that has some sunscreen in it, my wallet. Jesus tells these disciples to show up to these tired, vulnerable, powerless, shepherdless people the exact same way. Hungry, tired, and empty-handed. And then he invites them to see what healing and mercy and wholeness will come. God's kingdom is going to show up right here in this location. You know, what's interesting is Jesus doesn't say it's going to be easy. He says some will reject you. And when that happens, you know, just shake off the dust and keep going. I think Taylor Swift actually stole this line. Shake it off. Anyway. And really, we get a disservice because the lectionary drops off mid-speech. Because Jesus actually goes on to even more detail to describe how challenging this work will be. Being a disciple of Jesus, an embodiment of love and care, will surprisingly cause division and hard feelings. God's kingdom building work is gritty and messy. It's not comfortable to be vulnerable, to extend mercy and compassion, especially because the places Jesus is sending these fishermen to are their own hometowns, the places that said, "You will never be anything but a fisherman." That's where they're supposed to go. Back to their relatives and neighbors. These places of disappointment and guilt and shame. What I'm really struck by this week in this gospel is just the bodiness of this text. Jesus' bodily reaction and Jesus' invitation to go be a body in need in the midst of bodies in need. For our society, our world is just not wired that way. To pay attention to how our body reacts to life and how our body interacts with other bodies. To show up in a place and have bodily needs and expect them to be met with compassion and love. And to be able to show up as a body to bring healing and wholeness to another. And yet perhaps this is what we are created for. Our bodies are good and holy and important. Our bodies take care of us, and they're imperfectly perfect. And perhaps they are exactly what we need to be healed and to heal others. At this faith and writing conference I went to back in April, I got to hear this talk from J.S. Park, a hospital chaplain, and he shared the dilemma about the tissues. Now, those of us who have done counseling and chaplaincy, serving in hospitals and nursing homes, we know about the problem of tissues. You don't want to offer tissues too early to someone who's crying because it signals to them that they are uncomfortable with tears and so their emotions are not valid. It's so important to let people feel what they need to feel. No emotion is off limits. No amount of tears is too many. Like that Soil and Seed song, it's okay to admit you are tired and angry and overwhelmed. Grief needs to be expressed by our bodies. So don't you dare hand out those tissues too early. And yet, if you swing the other way and never hand out the tissues, well, that is also a problem. Because that means you aren't saying anything. If you just listen, then the vacuum gets filled with all sorts of problematic theology. Everything happens for a reason. Angels in heaven, and this too shall pass, and you're a tough cookie, and God won't give you anything more than you can handle. Dear ones, as people of faith, we have a deeper message to share. Ancient, built in ritual and prayer and singing and touch, the promise and hope of a resurrection, that death is not the final answer, and that God is not absent in suffering, but present within it. God cries with us. And so, in between these two spectrums of tissues too early and no tissues, J.S. Park shared this story. He was visiting with a family on their absolute worst day of their life, and their loved one was not going to make it. And so it was time to pull them off of life support. And he had been walking with this family for a couple of weeks. And so the family was there and crying, and he was also crying. There was a lot of crying. And then he saw it, that problematic box of tissues on the side table. And he had this wrestling match in his head. No, I'm not going to do it. There are no tissues. Tissues off limits. We must cry as long as we need to. And then his nose started profusely running, and it was ugly. And so, out of his own desperate need, J.S. Park reached for the tissues for himself. And this small act gave permission to everyone else that they too could reach for the tissues and get what they needed. And he realized in that moment that we are the connective tissue to hold one another. We embody what grief looks like, what mercy looks like, what love and compassion look like when we are able to stay in our bodies, be present to what is unfolding within and before us. And so, dear ones, may you know today it is okay to be tired. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to grieve that the way the world is not the way the world should be. May you know that God sees us and meets us in this place with deep, gut-wrenching compassion. May you also know that you are the best medicine for someone else's anger, sadness, helplessness, and grief. Your vulnerability as a human being is an asset. It's essential. It's where the kingdom of God shows up. And as you show up as your honest bodily self in all its blazing glory, the divine meets us and wholeness happens. The way you live is a prayer and witness to God's work of hope. And this holy hard work will change the world. God, we're tired. God, we're angry. God, we don't know what to do. Come with fire. Come with mercy. Come, oh, come, make all things new. Amen. Thanks be to God.